parts I like is when they go into Samaria, and John is trying to write. They give a flash forward to the future where John is trying to start writing his gospel, but he doesn't know how to begin it. So you flash back, and they're in Samaria. And if you're familiar with it, the Samaritans only recognized the first five books of the Bible. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And that was it. So, you know, and Jonathan Rumi, he really plays the part, doesn't he? They actually ask him that prayer and praise event up at the mall this morning. They actually asked him to be one of the speakers. And I said, wow. But he has been through his own spiritual journey. Anyway, they come in there, and Jesus asked John, what scripture should he use, since he's limited to just those first five books? And John really doesn't know what to think, what to say. He says, thinks about it a minute, and he basically goes to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, as we know it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's what John led out with as they cut flash forward. The magic of movies. They flash forward, and that's what John starts his gospel with. And that is this, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And I wonder just how we think about that. Do we believe as John did? And do we believe like the church of Smyrna? They believed so strongly that no matter what, they were not going to deny Jesus Christ. No matter what. And that's what this letter to the church in Smyrna is all about. Now, you ought to know, I've talked about the angel of the church in all seven. There's an angel to the church of, and it's a messenger. Angel means messenger. So to the messenger of the church in Smyrna, write. And it's good to know that when you look at Smyrna, Smyrna is actually the Greek word for another substance we should have heard before, myrrh. Myrrh. And of course, when Jesus was born, the wise men presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh representing the fact that he was going to be died, and his body was going to be placed into the tomb. And myrrh was one of the things they used to anoint the body to keep the odor down. If you remember with Lazarus, they were very concerned. Martha was very concerned when Jesus said, open the tomb. And Martha said, Lord, by this time he's going to smell. Jesus says, did you not know, do you not hear that if you believe, if you just believe, I will perform this miracle. I will do this. Trust in me. And that's the thing. The people of Smyrna, they trusted in Jesus. They trusted into him. They trusted in him, even though they were faced a lot, several of them were faced with death. We don't have exact numbers. And I think about that celebration of prayer up at the mall. And what is wrong with a celebration of prayer? Why would we even have to be concerned about? Why would we even have to be concerned about an event where it's just a getting together and praying and praising and giving thanksgiving to God? But in a way, it's somewhat comparative of nowadays. We know that increasingly Christians are coming under persecution, that we're being harassed in various places. Are there things that were inconceivable even 50 years ago, but now we've got a problem? And the thing about it is, do we really believe? Do we believe in Jesus enough to go through what our brothers and sisters who were at the Church of Smyrna, what they went through? And Jesus said, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. And that is a serious point of comfort for the people who were dying, for the families of those who were being killed, and the ones who were suffering. And it wasn't just that. There's a whole list of things that they were going through. But Jesus is saying, I died and I came back to life. And what he's telling his children at Smyrna is, you're not going to stay dead. Everyone who has lost their life will come back to life as he did. Jesus says, he died and came to life again. And so will we. So will we. Now, they had a real love for Jesus Christ at Smyrna because they went through a lot of stuff. Verse 9 of Revelation chapter 2, Jesus said, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. Now, Smyrna is one of the two churches in Revelation that receives no criticism. The other one is Philadelphia. And Smyrna is no criticism. Whatever else may have not been quite right, it isn't that what they did was covering over their sin. But Jesus says, if you're going through all this, I'm not going to criticize you. It's a lot of times where we go through problems and we go through issues in our lives. And time after time after time, I have to remember, turn it over to Jesus. Give it to God. Just give it to him. And tell him that you can't handle it. And they were having a hard time. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Synagogue means assembly. It was just a Jewish word for it. We're ecclesia. We're the called out ones. And they thought, these people who were persecuting the Christians, they thought they were doing God a favor. They thought they were the real deal. They were Jews. They had the right lineage. They had this. They did that. They did everything. They followed through on what their religion called them to do. But we know that we can only approach God on the basis of Jesus Christ and his shed blood for each of us. And when we've opened our hearts And when we've received Christ into our heart and made him the Savior and Lord of our lives, there's just nothing else to compare to it when you have that kind of confidence. And our brothers and sisters who were at Smyrna, they weren't about to give that up. Jesus says, you're rich. They were being excluded. They were being shunned. They were being marginalized, however you want to look at it. But Jesus basically puts it, we are defined. It's a synagogue of Satan. And we are defined on the basis of our relationship with Jesus. Not who we are. Not the fact that I've got $1 billion stock portfolio or something like that. But we're defined on the basis of our relationship, our knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, those who slandered the church of Smyrna in reality did not belong to God, but to the devil. And that's really a hard thing. We were talking this morning in Sunday school a little bit, and of course, you get to the martyrdom of Stephen, and he was killed because he told the truth. And that's what's happening here at Smyrna. They were telling the truth that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. He was the way. As a matter of fact, they weren't called, really weren't called Christians back there in the first century, but they were called followers of the way. And where did that come from? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And to be a follower of the way, I irritated him. I have that kind of a voice.
You put her to sleep.
Well, different strokes, what can I say? But in reality, those who thought they were Jewish, those who thought they were right with God, were actually right there with the devil, and they didn't know it. They really didn't know it. And Jesus says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil would put some of you in prison to test you, and you will be suffer persecution for 10 days. Now, there are some scholars that think this was a succession of 10 Roman emperors. And that pretty much, there's not a whole lot of basis for that. It's an interesting theory. But the point of it is, it wouldn't last forever. And Jesus says, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Eternal life, what could be greater? Eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit, with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, gathered round for all the years, all the centuries, all the ones. Think about all the people we're going to have a chance to talk to and meet. Wonderful. But most of all, we're going to be in the unveiled presence of God the Father. And I have a notion that when we get there, we're just going to be so in awe that we're just going to stand there. And then we're going to fall down and we're going to worship. When we see the God in all of his unveiled glory, as we will, because there will be no sin in us anymore. And we can look on God. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And Jesus said, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious, the one who overcomes, the overcomer, will not be hurt at all by the second death. You read all about that in the Bible and in Revelation 2. Now, victor in the Greek is Nikon. And are you familiar with the camera? But I'm looking at this and I see that you have to overcome. And what is it we have to overcome? The people who were persecuting the Christians had their ears plugged. Well, they didn't have their hearing aids in one or the two, but maybe the batteries went dead. They will be victorious. How do you become victorious? How do you become an overcomer? Now, ears to hear is found, and I will bore you. Can go, you can find that throughout the New Testament. But there are two New Testament passages you might want to look at. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, and Mark chapter 4, verse 9. You can look at that, and I think that it gave you a good understanding that Jesus meant what he said. But there are a couple of passages in the Old Testament that really just kind of jumped off the page, and I'd like to share those with you. The first is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Now, Isaiah, this is the call, by the way. This is in chapter 6. This is where God looks around, and he's in the temple, and his glory is filled with the Holy of Holies. And Isaiah is just standing there in awe. And God asked the question, whom will I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah looks around. He says, I will. And God says to Isaiah, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Now this, to me, I take this as a bit of sarcasm. In other words, these people, these Jews, there at Smyrna, well, they thought they had it made. In reality, they didn't have ears to hear. They did not have ears to hear. And what's the problem? Because they don't want to hear it. When we get that attitude that I'm just going to, you know, something just keeps going off. You try to tell somebody something and they don't want to get it. It isn't that they can't understand what you're saying, but they don't want to get it at all. And they just have, like the people that stoned Stephen to death, I believe it's in Acts chapter 8. Anyway, they just didn't want to hear it. At the point in time where Stephen was, dying, he said, look, I see God in all of his glory on his throne. And then he says, I see Jesus standing at his right hand. Now, Jesus was standing to receive Stephen. You stand up to receive Stephen. This is, I don't know that this would be the first martyr in the New Testament, but it was certainly, Stephen was one of the first. And they just didn't want to hear it. It's written in the book of Acts that they just covered their ears. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear it. And that's the real problem. So go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. And God in a sarcastic way says, you know, I'm going to make you calloused. He says, you don't want to listen to me? Okay, I'm going to make you calloused. I'm going to make your ears dull, and I'm going to make your eyes so you can't see the truth right in front of you. because they had so set themselves against God's message that they didn't want to hear it, didn't care what you have to say or what they had to say, what Isaiah had to say. Doesn't matter. And you read Isaiah, you read, that's a book to read. Wow. Some of the prophecies Isaiah was given. But if they would understand, if they would just get it, if they would just listen with open ears, with open minds and open hearts, if they would just listen, God said they will turn, so hear with their ears, see with their eyes, understand with their hearts, turn and be healed. And we wonder when we're witnessing, as we were talking about in Sunday school, we wonder when we are witnessing, what is it that keeps people from taking it in? One of the biggest problems is they don't want to hear it because nobody likes to be told what to do and nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. And we have to understand. I had to understand. I can't do it by myself. In and of myself, being baptized is not good enough. In and of myself, all the stuff I could do for God doesn't mean a thing. Because until I open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart, and open myself and receive Christ as my Savior and Lord. And when I do that, then God is ready to work with me. Now in Ezekiel, now there's another one. Book of Ezekiel. Well, that's wild stuff in there. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 37. And God has just told Ezekiel that he is going to lay down for days on end. God's supernaturally having him lay down. And then he turns one side and then turns the other side and lays down for, I don't know, another 40 days. I forget how long it is. But the thing about it is, on occasion, God's going to move in him and he's going to enable him to speak. Because he says in Ezekiel 3:27, God said, but when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let them listen. And whoever will refuse, let them refuse. For they are a rebellious house. Doesn't that speak a lot for the condition that our country is in? And we need to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray some more. Like we were talking about in Sunday school, you can pray anytime. Pray anytime, really. And it doesn't have to be out loud. You can be here and here. And if you know Christ as your Savior, if you have opened your heart and received him, read Romans chapter 8. Got a straight path through. Read the Gospel of John. Jesus says, pray in my name and God's going to hear you. Now, what does that mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means to pray on the basis of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Because in and of ourselves, we don't deserve for God to hear our prayers. But when we surrender to Jesus Christ, when we give ourselves to him, and when we trust in him and when we ask God to please fill me with your Holy Spirit, and we desire to grow closer to God each and every day, God is able to work with us and do his work through us. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be nice. Look what was happening to the people of Smyrna. They were really persecuted. And Ezekiel was preaching to a rebellious house, and so was Isaiah. They don't want to hear it. They're God's people. We're descended from Abraham. God's going to love us. We're his people. He will never reject us. What the thing about it was, they had rejected God. They had rejected God, and that's what got Stephen killed. He chronicled, when you're reading that portion in Acts about Stephen, he chronicled the whole the whole history in a brief manner. She knew he didn't have long, but he gave it to him. Says, "You stiff-necked. You're just as stiff-necked as your forefathers. You've always been stiff-necked. You've always had ears that don't want to hear. You've always had eyes that don't want to see. You've always had a heart that doesn't want to understand." And I pray, and if there's anybody here today, I'm not trying to be mean about this, but if you're here today, please. God loves you so much, so much, that he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. Now, there can't be a greater love than that. Especially I look at my life, look back on some of the instances in my life. I wouldn't think I would be deserving of Jesus dying for me, but it's not based on the fact that I deserve it. It's based on the fact that God loves me, and it's based on the fact that God loves you. God loves you that much. When you look to Jesus on the cross in your mind and your heart and in your spirit, when you look to Jesus on the cross, just remember, that is how much God loves you. And you don't have, we let people of Smyrna, people kick us all around. And people will make fun of us. People, even within our own family, might even be your spouse, make fun of you. Why? Because you are, by living for Christ and by serving Christ, by trusting in Christ, you are a witness to them that they are wrong. And they don't want to hear that. And I just hope that you could understand that it's better to trust in Jesus with all of your heart. It's better to put up with the abuse. And nobody wants to die, especially the way the people of Smyrna, some of them died. But in spite of everything that was going on, the church of Smyrna refused to deny Jesus in the face of severe persecution. They endured economic hardship. They endured slander. They endured exclusion, and they even died rather than deny Christ. They would rather have Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, who died for them and for us, so that all who have received him as Savior and Lord could receive the victor's crown of eternal life. And God wants to give you that victor's crown. No two ways about it. God wants to give each one of us that victor's crown. God doesn't want you to be left out. God doesn't want me to be left out. God doesn't want any of these people that we know that we're in the supermarket with, wherever we might be, in the body shop even. God doesn't want them to be left out either. But it's up to us. Are we going to live for the glory of Christ? Are we going to live let our life be a testimony of what the gospel can do for us and what it can do for them? And they may not want to hear it, but pray, and pray some more, because God wants you to be that witness. God wants you to reach out to them. And who is going to go if not you or if not me? You know, what is it worth? What is it worth to save somebody? Jesus, God, God obviously thought it was worth the very best he had to give. And that's how much God wants to save everybody. So as we remember the cross, as we look toward the cross of Jesus Christ, let's remember that is how much God wants to save people. But it's up to us to follow through. The people of Smyrna did. They refused to deny Jesus no matter what. What about us? We may not be called. We may not lose our jobs over it. We may not lose our bank accounts over it. There may be other things that happen. Or we may lose friendships. We may lose a lot of things. But is it worth it to try and win somebody to Christ, to try and share with them what Jesus has done for you? You know, we have no problem. If we buy something, whatever it might be, whether it's a car or whether it's an appliance or whatever it might be, or whether it's clothing, we have no problem telling somebody else how wonderful that is. In the same way, tell people about what Jesus has done for you. Most Holy Father in heaven, indeed this is beyond all of us, but Lord, we trust in you. And above all things, Lord, take us by the hand and lead us into the way we should go. And help us to remember to trust in you and not to be afraid of whatever comes our way. Because we know in the end that you have that victor's crown waiting for each one of us. So Lord, help us, keep us true to your purpose. Keep us true to you in our hearts and in our souls. And Lord, help us that we might make it to that day when you will give us the victor's crown. Thank you, Holy Father, for all that you do. Thank you for loving us so much. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.